Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
2020 has been a year like no other.
It's going to be special. They're going to talk about it forever, baby.
Y'all going to make a movie about this.
This football season is certain to follow that lead.
Might have been reading a press clipping that they're so good because they didn't show up today.
Questions like never before surround every team, both on the field and off of it.
I'm not really sure what's going on down there and why they made this move.
Will Mahomes barbecue the record books?
On third down and 15, and Mahomes guns it for 44.
Can Brady recapture the jewels for a gang of pirates?
The clock's ticking on everybody.
Will Trevor Lawrence make the Tigers the kings of the jungle?
Lawrence is going to go and look low on what he lost.
Lawrence makes a running grab!
Every week, the answers are right here, right now. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Sunday morning to you, everybody. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We appreciate you being with us. Big week two in the NFL, and we are here for it on Sunday Morning Football. Coming your way this morning in 15 minutes. How about three-time Super Bowl champion, a member of the Washington Football Ring of Honor? He was a dominant defensive end on all those wonderful Joe Gibbs teams of the 80s and 90s. Charles Mann is going to join us as Washington got an emotional Week 1 victory in comeback fashion over the Eagles. Can they do it again today? Excessive celebration in 40 minutes. The best play-by-play calls of yesterday's college football action. Coming up next hour on the show, we look inside Russell Wilson taking on the Patriots defense. It's Russ versus the hoodie. Joe Burrow has his nationally televised debut on Thursday, and the Big Ten agrees this week to return to the playing field. Plus, our Vegas virtuoso, Matt Moss. Mitch Moss is going to join us coming up next hour as well. It's all straight ahead on today's Sunday Morning Football. If you want to jump in on the phones, on anything football-related, college and the NFL, here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. Again, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, hit me up, DA on CBS. Again, that Twitter handle, DA on CBS. It's always so good to be with you on Sunday mornings. There's so many ways you can listen to us every single Sunday morning, 10 until noon Eastern time. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and all these wonderful affiliates nationwide and into Canada. Also on Sirius XM, Channel 206. And you can listen to us in your house very easily. If you've got a smart speaker, just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. That way, if you're in the garage, you're downstairs, you're upstairs, you're jumping from room to room in the house all day long, you can listen to us by just telling your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. And if you're on the go this morning, you can take us with you as well. Stream us on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. Today, in week two of the NFL, Tom Brady tries to get his first win in a new uniform against the Carolina Panthers, while the Houston Texans, a preseason favorite perhaps to get to a Super Bowl, is in danger of falling to 0-2 against a very good Ravens team. But we start with college football. Last night in prime time, did we see the best challengers of the ACC to Clemson? Let's kick things off with Sunday Gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, he shoots from the hip.
We need men like him to make towns safe for decent people.
DA is the Sunday Gunslinger.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
All right, let's do it.
Last night in prime time, the only matchup between two ranked teams for the College Football League. That was two top 20 teams, Louisville and Miami. We know that the ACC has been the land of the Tigers for a long time now. Which of the previous traditional powerhouses is eventually going to rise up and challenge Clemson regularly? Early on in Clemson's reign, it was Florida State, but FSU has obviously fallen on much, much hard times. So you have Virginia Tech as well. And where is Miami? The Hurricanes always seem to be a lurking, sleeping giant, but they have not been able to get out of their own way. Well, last night, maybe a step forward in that, because on a night at Louisville, where there was offense and aplenty, the Miami attack created some big plays. Let's listen in.
12 of 20 in the game for 158 yards, takes the snap, and we got a player wide open. Alone on the catch is Jalen Knighton, and is he going to go 75 yards? He is. A busted coverage, Knighton catch, touchdown Miami.
The one thing that this team is just through 2 weeks. It's early days, but they're pretty connected. They have each other's back pretty good. And we have really adopted that play the next play mentality. So no matter what happens, we just go back out there and just go right to work.
That's head coach Manny Diaz, and that radio call courtesy of the Compass Radio Network. For the Miami Hurricanes yesterday, UM generated nearly 500 yards of offense. That's what you want to see. Miami has always been blessed with amazing skill position talent, but they have not been able to create a big play, big chunk yardage offense in many, many years, and maybe this is the first step there. Look, Manny Diaz's year number one last year had a lot of black eyes, and there was a lot of embarrassing moments, and so there was a lot of questions about whether he was the right hire, and they've been trying to go through the right hire really since Butch Davis left, Larry Coker and Randy Shannon, and going down the list, Al Golden, and nothing has seemingly worked. Mark Richt was there for a couple of years, and now it's Manny Diaz. It's been a carousel year after year after year, but for Diaz, at the very least, he understands the culture, he understands the program, he grew up in that program, but what that program needs to do is be able to take advantage of the amazing skill position talent that's in South Florida and make the offense exciting. It's not a normal Miami defense, because they gave up nearly 500 yards as well to the Louisville offense. But at the very least, every time Louisville crept back in that game last night, another big play, a big touchdown, one play drives. And that's what you want to see. A lot of busted coverages by Louisville. They made things easier on De'Ara King and company. But King was the transfer from Houston that gave Canes fans hope. And last night, he delivered, the Hurricanes getting their first ACC victory. Next week, they get Florida State at home. And perhaps Miami is starting to build something as the number one contender to Clemson's dominance. In the NFL today, Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers, trying to bounce back after that lethargic effort last week against the New Orleans Saints. And this week, there was no shortage of headlines coming out of Tampa Bay, where Bruce Arians openly critiqued Tom Brady's performance at the Superdome, and Brady seemed to get a little curt, a little snippy, with a reporter asking about that this week. Let's play the clips.
One was a miscommunication between he and Mike, and he thought Mike was going down the middle, but Tom just overthrew it, and the other one was the... It was a screen pass with an outlet called, and he threw the outlet, and it was a pick six. Bad decision.
I think there's a perception that you haven't taken a lot of criticism from your coaches before. I don't think this is something that surprised you this week, is it?
So what's the question?
Yeah, just whether you were surprised at all to hear Bruce speaking publicly about the picks and being critical of you as he was.
He's a coach, so I'm a player. Just trying to win a game.
I've sat in a lot of Tom Brady press conferences, having covered the Patriots when I worked in Boston, and I can tell you it is very rare. If it's ever happened, I don't remember it, of him getting testy with reporters because of a question. Brady has always very diplomatically navigated himself through difficult questions or difficult losses, what have you. And this was so unique. This was so rare. This is pretty obvious that Brady was annoyed or bothered by the question, and he had to know it was coming because everybody was talking about it nationally all week. I think that Bruce Arians wants to treat Tom Brady as one of the guys so that everybody knows that Brady and everybody will be held accountable. If number 12's going to be publicly criticized, nobody has an excuse to hide from the criticism. I think that's what Bruce Arians wants to do. I'm not so sure, though, that Brady is cool with that. Maybe they said they were going to be cool with that, but when push came to shove this week, very obviously Brady wasn't by listening to that answer, that question. What's the question again? He's the coach. I'm a player. We're trying to win games. To me, this is a story because Brady did not, in this instance, kind of easily navigate through it like he normally does a million times whenever there's a loss, whenever there's some type of situation that could be a little difficult. He's always walked through it kind of breathlessly, and he did it this time, which makes me wonder if all is cool in Tampa Bay. Look, they got to get a win. And because the NFC South is way different than the AFC East, Tom Brady could, he used to be able to afford losing games, but knowing that, you know, the AFC East is never really in trouble. It's never really at risk of losing. The NFC South absolutely is. If you lose today to the Panthers, you're 0-2 in the division. So this ends up being a really big game, actually, for the Buccaneers. And to quiet the wonders, the whispers, the questions about whether Tom Brady's going to look 43 years old all season long. I don't think that he will. I think we'll have pockets where he looks very good, but I also think we'll have pockets where he looks like he did in week one, because 43 is going to look like 43 for everybody at some given time. And finally, elsewhere in the AFC, another team risking falling to 0-2 is one of the favorites in the AFC. That'd be the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson at Houston lost the opening Thursday night to the Chiefs. It doesn't get much easier today as they take on the Baltimore Ravens in the late window on CBS. Here's Deshaun Watson.
You got to win your home games. You got to win the AFC games. And this is a great opportunity playing against a great team. You know, that was a playoff team last year. And, you know, we got to try to turn the page and get on that winning streak. And it starts Sunday. So, and we got to do it. We got to play sharp. We got to play smart. We got to play fast. And, you know, we got to play as a team. And if we can do that, good things can happen.
Schedule makers didn't do the Texans any favors here. I mean, starting off the season with the Chiefs and the Ravens, the two best teams of the AFC last year, is brutal. Really, the Texans need this victory. They are at home today. Again, that's later on today. It's a 4:35 Eastern time kick. But for the Ravens, they come in looking great after week number one. I mean, they just blitzed right through the Browns last week. Lamar Jackson picked up where he left off last year with his MVP campaign. The Texans this week need to look a lot better on offense than they did that opening Thursday night. That feels like a really long time ago. But if you go back to week number one against the Chiefs, not only was Mahomes fine, they ran the football really well for the Chiefs, but also defensively they harassed Deshaun Watson all night long, and the Houston Texans offense never really got into gear. Today, it's going to be just as difficult. The Ravens defense comes into town. This is a big one. The Ravens are favored by 7 in this game on the road. If the Texans lose today, they fall to 0-2. In an AFC South that's going to be really, really competitive, Bill O'Brien spent another offseason retooling and restocking his roster and making trades and trading away DeAndre Hopkins. They fall to 0-2. And if they lose big today, having lost big to both the Chiefs and the Ravens, it's going to be really hard to take them seriously as a contender this year in the AFC. It's your Sunday Gunslinger. Hit me up, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. I'm so excited about our next guest. He was always one of the most thoughtful and best interviews of his generation. He was a pass rusher extraordinaire coming off the edge for 3 different Super Bowl championship teams. He's a member of the Washington Football Ring of Honor. The bookends of him and Dexter Manley in D.C. ran roughshod over offenses throughout the NFC East and through the 80s and early 90s. We'll talk to Charles Mann coming up here next about Ron Rivera and what he's hoping to change about the organization and some of the great moments that Charles Mann went through. Those Washington teams were a handful for a lot of teams, including those that appeared to be historically great. We'll talk to Charles Mann about the today and about the yesterday coming up here next. Damon Amendolara, DA with you here on Sunday Morning Football.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Welcome back to CBS Sports Radio. It's Sunday Morning Football, everybody. DA, Damon Amendolara with you. And our next guest, as we prepare for today's week number two, is a three-time Super Bowl champion. He was a four-time Pro Bowler with Washington. He is one of the greats in franchise history, a member of Washington football's Ring of Fame. And Washington is celebrating, a week after last week, an emotional win, a comeback victory over the hated Eagles. Joining us this morning on the show is Charles Mann. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, Damon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. I always love our conversations. And when we go back to last week, what did it make you feel to see your former team that's fallen on hard times recently summon the ability to come back against the Eagles and do it in dramatic fashion?
I tell you what, that first half didn't feel too good. It felt like the same old, Washington football team. And I stuck it out with them and started seeing some things happen. We scored a touchdown off of a turnover. And if you win the turnover battle, you always are going to win. You have three turnovers to none on the other side. You're going to win the game most often than not. So I was very pleasant to see it, very happy. I thought Ron Rivera did a great job. Something happened at halftime, and it always used to happen at halftime with us as well. Joe Gibbs coached teams. Richie Pettibone, as our defensive coordinator, would make halftime adjustments. I don't know if there was any halftime adjustments in this game. I think there was a motivational speech at halftime, which really got them going.
The hope is that Ron Rivera is able to instill a winning culture, change the culture, from what has happened over the last couple of years. You played for two franchises where the culture was already set. You get to Washington after they had already won a Super Bowl, and then you got to San Francisco when they were in the midst of that great dynasty. What was the common thread between the two that you saw that created the winning culture?
It starts in the locker room. The locker room had a bunch of leaders, and some vocal, some by action. Art Monk was a great leader, but he didn't say two words. He just showed up every day, worked hard. When I went to the 49ers, Jerry Rice didn't say anything, but worked hard every day. Quick story, I'm one of the last people to leave out the locker room, with ice and film study and lifting weights and all the things I would do. And I remember walking out of the facility in San Francisco, and it was starting to get a little dark. And I look up, and I see Jerry Rice jogging around the perimeter of the practice facility. I mean, and this is like 2.5-3 hours after practice, when people are gone home, coaches are only ones left. That's the kind of attitude that you have to have. And, I think, Ron Rivera is instilling in them, look, I got you for 4 months. Give me everything you got, even on your off days and at nighttime, think football. Because we're in the middle of a pandemic, and all it takes is one or two guys to go out and hang out or whatever, come back and infect the whole team, and, there goes the season.
Charles Mann, a standout defensive end for Washington over the course of his career, a three-time Super Bowl champion, joining us this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. So speaking of Ron Rivera, you have a fun history with him, I'm sure, from your standpoint, because he was part of that 85 Bears team and those great teams of the 80s in Chicago, and it felt like they were a machine that could not be stopped. And twice, you guys did exactly that. In 86 and 87, you guys went to Soldier Field and got a win and knocked them out of the postseason. That was, again, in an era where people didn't think that you could beat the 85 Bears. How sweet was it to be able to do that back-to-back seasons? What was the secret recipe?
Well, one was, you know, Daryl Green's iconic interception return for a touchdown where he tore the cartilage from his rib cage. He's holding his waist while he's running past everybody. And then one of the games, people might not remember, I had like three sacks against Keith Van Horn, one of their great offensive linemen. And, you know, I just couldn't be stopped in that game. So there were some great defensive plays that really, I really believe our defense is what won those games for us. And it was pleasant to see, you know, this new Washington football team's defense win the game for them in this past week.
You know, it must have been also maybe a motivational factor for you guys. You guys had a very good defense yourself. Dexter Manley, Daryl Green, just a few of the all-pros, pro bowlers, where you guys really had a physical, hard-hitting, swarming defense. It must have been a motivation to hear all about the 85 Bears, the Big Bad Bears, the Super Bowl Shuffle Bears, and then know that you guys had a pretty good defense as well, and bring your lunch buckets and get those wins in 86 and 87.
You know, it's a tough guy. I mean, this used to be, and I'm not sure if it's the same anymore, but back in the day, it was, you know, you were a tough guy to play this game and play it injured. I mean, I look at my career, my 12-year career, I was injured every season. You may not have known it, but I was injured. But I remember going into that game, the time where we beat them when they were reigning champs in Soldier Field. I remember walking out for the pregame warm-up, and it was bitter cold. I mean, it was bitter cold. And they had trash cans out there that were on fire that you could put, you know, come up to and get some heat from. I went out for pregame, and I never in my career wore sleeves, long sleeves. So I went out there, and Monty Coleman and I both went out, or got our guns showing. You know, I got an extra weight workout that week, and I go out there, man, and I'm looking at him, and he looks at me, and I'm like, oh, gosh, if there's any time I might change up my thing. And I went in the locker room. We put on Vaseline on our face. We covered our ear holes on our helmets with tape, and I went out in the first series. They called a timeout, charged the Redskins with a timeout, and I had to go to the sideline and wipe all that Vaseline off my arm. That's what I remember. It was bitter cold. When you hit somebody, your teeth hurt. You know? Oh. So they were tough guys. We were tough guys back then, and, you know, they don't play with the injuries and all the issues that we dealt with then now, and I get it. I understand it. If I could do it all over again, I may not have played in several games. I'm sitting here as I'm talking to you right now on this beautiful Sunday morning. I've got a boot on a foot. I just had foot surgery. So, you know, it just never ends.
It was certainly a different era and a different kind of player. You're exactly right. And I think it was a different era as well, because a lot of the stadiums felt pretty intimidating. I mean, when you go into RFK and you are seeing the stands bounce up and down and there's mud on the field, and RFK is not a huge place, but I've been in there and the sound just carries. It must have been an amazing feeling to know we're going to walk out here and in this old barn, this is our joint. This is our crowd. What was that experience like?
I tell you what, it was awesome. I mean, you had the 12th man was real, and it wasn't for necessarily all the noise. It was just all the things that you said, the history in there, the ambiance, you know, the old crickety stadium. And, oh, by the way, you better get inside the locker room after the game, and you better jump in the locker room, I mean, in the shower quick, because the hot water is gone in about 15 minutes. I never got hot water. Anyway, but just to see the Hoggets on the sideline, certain people were there every Sunday rooting you on. You didn't have any other teams representing there. I mean, because these, you know, it was only 60, you know, 59, 60,000 seats. And all of those, only way you could get a seed is if, you know, somebody gifted it to you after they passed away. So it was an awesome place now, you know, back then. It was just incredible.
Charles Mann joins us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football. Washington football is 1-0 after the emotional win last week over the Philadelphia Eagles. You were always one of the most thoughtful guys in the NFL, and I always thought about that Super Bowl 22 win over the Broncos when Doug Williams was named Super Bowl MVP, and to that point in time, there had never been a black quarterback in the Super Bowl. And I wonder, what was your level of pride like to see Doug, whose career had ascended in Tampa Bay and then fallen on hard times? He wasn't the starter in 87 until Joe decided to put him in over Jay Schrader. Having that moment on that stage and knowing historically what it meant, what did it mean to you? What was your feelings that day?
Well, you certainly took pride as an African-American player. You took pride. You know, you look at Doug in street clothes. He's got these two knees that he could barely stand on. They've got zippers all over him. He's had multiple, knee surgeries at that time. But his arm was as sharp as ever, and his mind was as sharp as ever. And that season, it was Jay Schrader as the starting quarterback, and then there was Doug Williams coming off the bench. And they went back and forth a couple of times. And by the time we got to the Super Bowl, Doug had earned the spot. And so you were rooting for him. And if you remember in that game, he got hit and fell backwards on his knees, and his knees didn't bend like they were supposed to. And you saw him limp off and you said, oh, my God, it's over, you know, because we had the momentum and everything. Then he gets back in the game and just, you know, just goes off. I mean, it was just an incredible, incredible feeling for him, and knowing the history as an African-American quarterback, it was nice to be a part of that. You know, I tell people all the time, they say, hey, were you on the team when Doug Williams was there? I said, you mean, was Doug Williams on the team when I was there? I was there before Doug, and I was there after Doug. So, yeah, it was great.
What a run that was. What a amazing era it was. You guys win again in 91, one of the greatest teams of all time, 14-2, and just kind of destroyed everybody along your way to win that championship. And it's been a long time since those days for Washington fans, and there's been a lot of hope, but a lot of hope dashed and empty seats. And so now maybe this is the start of a turnaround. What do you think it's going to take for Washington football to get back to a place where, you know, they're a playoff contender year in and year out?
I think it's going to take an act of God, and my wife will have to be pregnant, because we have three children, and every time my wife was pregnant with a child, we won a Super Bowl.
Wow, no. Okay.
That is true, but it's amazing. So it was 29 years ago. My son just turned 29.
Wow.
The other day, and I have a Super Bowl ring for each birth of my children, so I know exactly how long it's been.
Wow.
And it's been tough to sit through it. I'm a Washington fan. I moved back here after my, 5 or 6 months with San Francisco. So I've been in the community. I'm a supporter of the team. I've gone through Joe Gibbs coming back, to the ball coach out there, to Shanahan, you know, we've seen it all. We've been through a bunch of quarterbacks, and it's just, you know, the common denominator of all of it has been Dan Snyder's team. And, you know, he is trying to be hands off and trying to get out of the way and trying to let this team run itself. And I think Ron Rivera is going to give us a good enough of a shot, you know, but at the end of the day, coaches don't play. It takes players to play. It takes leadership to win. And it takes, you know, and the biggest question mark is the quarterback. You know, how can he? And he had a locker room speech at halftime that really turned this team around, even though, you know, they didn't play that great offensively. But he's got some weapons there. And if he can just get his footwork right, and be, and not throw any interceptions, had no turnovers, I think we can win some games.
I think so, too. That was a really good start in week number one. Charles Mann joins us this morning on the show. Always one of the most thoughtful players in the league when he played. Such a cool moment to see that you had gotten your college degree many, many years after being drafted in Washington and having your football career. Now, obviously, you're a very successful businessman as well, and so have a great post-career as well, post-playing career. And I really appreciate catching up with you today, Charles. Thanks so much for finding time for us, and best of luck in all of the endeavors that you are in, and hopefully we can catch up again.
Absolutely, and you can hear me on a podcast with Dexter Manley called The Manly Man Show.
The Manly Man Show on podcast. What can we expect this season between you and Dexter?
We obviously don't see eye to eye. It's like freaking track. It's like, total opposite. But we bring a different perspective, and it's good to hear Dexter, talk. And it's like the good cop, bad cop. And we have a lot of good guests. And I would love you to tune in. You can hear us wherever you get your podcasts.
That's fantastic.
On about every other week.
That's fantastic. Check it out. Dexter Manley and Charles Mann, The Manly Man Show, all places that podcasts are downloaded. Charles, this was great. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Go Washington football team.
Very cool. Thanks so much. Charles Mann joining us here on Sunday Morning Football. Excellent stuff. We'll see if Washington can keep the good times rolling today after their game one, week one victory in comeback fashion against the Philadelphia Eagles. When we return, we've got excessive celebration, the best play-by-play calls from yesterday's college football games, including a couple of crazy comebacks in college football. So we'll do that coming up here next. Next hour here on the show, we've got Mitch Moss is going to join us, our Vegas virtuoso, to look at the lines for today's NFL action that comes your way a little over a half hour from now.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. Happy Sunday to you. Week 2 of the NFL kicks off in about an hour, 2 hours and 15 minutes or so. So glad you're with us on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up here in hour number 2, next hour, we'll go inside the Vegas odds around today's Week 2 of the NFL. And also, look ahead to today's big one between the Seahawks and the Patriots. Russell Wilson was nearly flawless in the opening weekend win. Can he do it again, this time against the Hoodie and Belichick's defense? That's coming up in hour number 2 of Sunday Morning Football. As always, you can hit me up on the phone at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. There's many ways you can listen to the show. You can also catch us in podcast form. So if you miss anything or want to hear it again, catch up throughout your Sunday. You can always listen to us in podcast form. Find the DA Show podcast feed. Just simply search the DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe to us, and every single Sunday we upload this show to that feed. You can usually catch me Monday through Friday right here on CBS Sports Radio mornings, 6 until 10 Eastern time. But around this time each and every week, we like to go back inside the breathtaking moments, the crazy endings, the ridiculous action of a college football Saturday. It's time for excessive celebration.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
We've got a bunch of folks down there.
He caught it.
It's excessive celebration.
It's going to be caught. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. I can't believe what I just saw. And this place is an insane asylum.
Let's go back to the opener for Navy. Remember when Navy opened against BYU Labor Day weekend and BYU absolutely smashed them? BYU, the Cougars, beat up on Navy 55-3. It was an embarrassment for the midshipmen. So 55-3, they lost their opener. And then against Tulane yesterday, they fell behind 24-0. So you do the math. That's like 89-3 or something like that over the course of these two games. I mean, yikes, in six quarters of football. Whoa. And so Navy looked to be getting drummed again. And yet here came the midshipmen, never say die. They kept chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. And not only did they stop Tulane from scoring again, they erased a 24-point hole. At the end of the game, Navy lines up for a potential game-winning field goal. What a day for Navy. What guts they showed. Here's how it sounded.
Find the umpire. Gibbs the snap. Davies the hold. Bijan the kick. Ball down, kick up. The kick is good! He splits the uprights! And the ball game is over! And Navy wins it! 27-24, and a little more. Bijan Bingo is the mid-score. 27 straight points to come from behind in New Orleans and win the football game.
Pete Medhurst, the Navy Radio Network. Navy comes back from down 24-0 to line up for a 33-yard field goal to win, and they get it. It's the biggest comeback in Navy's history. Congratulations to the midshipmen. What a comeback that was. Again, after week one, and they were just getting beaten up again, to say not so fast, not today, not again, is such a credit to those young men in a Navy uniform. Congratulations to Navy for the big comeback victory yesterday over the Green Wave. Let's go to Louisiana. Remember, week one, they got the big upset victory, and they're feeling good about themselves over a Big 12 foe. So here they were taking on a team that we thought they were going to be way better than, and they were the big favorite in this game. And yet that's not the way that it went down, because Louisiana needed every last second of this game to try to pull out the victory against Georgia State. The number 19 Ragin' Cajuns were really favored huge by the Vegas odds makers. That's not the way it went down. We ended up having a nip and tuck game that went all the way to overtime as Georgia State battled tooth and nail. Here's how it ended.
Snap to Lewis. Give to Mitchell. Right side. Crazy. Sweeping out. Touchdown, Louisiana. And this time there's no timeout. This time I don't see a flag. And the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns fight and scratch and claw their way to an overtime win here today by the score of 34-31.
It wasn't supposed to be that difficult over Georgia State, but Louisiana comes out with a victory. Remember, they ended up being ranked this week because last week they beat that ranked Iowa State team on the road and looked really good doing it. Yesterday, Louisiana, 240 yards rushing on the ground. They piled up more than 500 yards of offense and needed overtime and the touchdown to finally withstand Georgia State. So maybe a little overranked compared to where the pollsters put them and what we saw yesterday. But at the end of the day, they get the victory. That's courtesy of Jay Walker from Learfield IMG College. And finally, we know the story of UCF. The Knights play in the American, but they've been party crashers, knocking on the door of a college football playoff, playing in New Year's Six bowl games, and they had another chance against a Power 5 opponent yesterday in Georgia Tech. And wouldn't you know, UCF did it again. Do not play the Knights, because you're going to wake up with a lot of lumps on a Sunday morning. Here's how it sounded on the UCF Radio Network.
Snap. Dillon's going to throw. His pass to the corner is caught. Touchdown, Marlon Williams. What an exclamation point of the drive with just a man catch for a touchdown.
Mark Daniels on the UCF Radio Network. Final score, UCF, the 14th-ranked Knights, 49. Georgia Tech, 21. And UCF once again proves it has all the ability, all of the talent, all of the coaching to put up big numbers and dominate Power 5 foes. Again, this was never a game. The Knights put up nearly 50 points in an ACC team. And UCF threw for more than 400 yards, four touchdowns through the air, at 243 on the ground as well, and they really could not be stopped. What an impressive victory by UCF, even if Georgia Tech is going through a major kind of rebuild here. No matter what, remember, Georgia Tech had come off the victory over Florida State last week. So for the Jackets to come off a win over FSU and then get pounded by UCF, once again, don't sleep on the Knights. And this is why It's always a shame that the college football playoff does not allow enough space for the party crashers like UCF to get in there, because UCF or teams like that deserve spots when they prove that they can go into a place where, you know, it's a Power 5 foe and not only win, but win in dominant fashion. Nearly 50 points put up by UCF yesterday. Now that's your excessive celebration. Today around the NFL, some really important games for playoff contenders or playoff hopefuls that started the season 0-1. How about a battle of 0-1 teams between the Falcons and the Cowboys today at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas? Both those teams lost in their opener last week. The Cowboys are a slight favorite in this game, probably by virtue of being at home. But both those teams have designs on going to the postseason, and falling behind or falling to 0-2, we know, is normally really difficult to come back from. Also, the Vikings lost last week to the Green Bay Packers. They are 0-1, taking on a Colts team that also shockingly lost last week to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Some thought that they might be a sleeper pick for the Super Bowl. So a pair of 0-1 teams doing battle. Who falls to 0-2 in that one? The 49ers were shocked last week as well. They traveled to New York to take on the Jets, who are 0-1. The Jets are really bad, but the 49ers are not. What will San Francisco look like coming all the way east for an early kick? That's a 1 p.m. Eastern kick on Fox. So will the 49ers look like they've got jet lag, or will they come out and punish an inferior Jets team? Also, we talked about the Buccaneers, 0-1, taking on the 0-1 Panthers team. This one is at home. The Bucs are big favorites, 8.5-point favorites to be exact. Tampa Bay and Tom Brady looking to rebound after a very ugly Week 1 loss. The Texans are 0-1. They have designed the playoffs. This is a big game. Later on today, the late window, 4:25 Eastern kick on CBS, the Texans hosting the Ravens, who looked phenomenal in that Week 1 blowout win over the Browns. What will end up happening with the Texans team if they fall to 0-2? And tonight, there's a big one, but both those teams are 1-0. The Patriots and the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. Russell Wilson was just beautiful. He was just scintillating in the Week 1 effort. Can a Patriots defense that lost a lot of players in the offseason to opting out due to COVID slow down Russell Wilson, who may finally get a vote in the MVP voting at the end of the season? We'll tackle that one. Patriots and Seahawks coming up here next on Sunday Morning Football. Plus, the Big Ten reverses course this week. It will end up playing starting up a little over a month from now. We'll discuss what their reasoning was and if it made sense. D.A. Damon Amendolara. This is Sunday Morning Football, and this is CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.